If there's one thing that South Africans, or certainly members of the BizNews tribe, have learnt from the COVID-19 experience, that is question, 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 especially anything that comes out of government. Well, it seems as though we're being asked to swallow this again. This is to do with a foot and mouth disease. John Steenhuisen, leader of the Democratic Alliance, Agriculture Minister of South Africa, put on a very brave face yesterday, relying on a department that has mucked up the whole thing. Well, interestingly enough, there is a farmer in Parliament. His name is Athol Trollope. He is the parliamentary leader of Action SA, a party that is disrupting wherever it does see opportunities to disrupt. And I've asked Athol to come and update us on his perception of the foot and mouth disease, which farmers are telling us is the greatest tragedy this agriculture sector has faced since the Rinderpest in 1897. Athol, in a way, I'm quite sorry, actually, that you guys at Action SA stayed out of the Government of National Unity, because with your background, having been a farmer, I'm not sure there are too many other people in Parliament, mostly townies, who would be as well positioned to understand what's going on in agriculture, because it certainly doesn't seem to be the case at the moment from what the farming community tell us. But you did something unusual yesterday. John Steenhuisen has a press conference and you went along to it. I suppose you're allowed to. But on top of that, you asked a question, which is, I'm not sure I've ever heard of that before, where a parliamentarian has gone to a press conference of a cabinet minister and actually put them on the spot. And you certainly did. Just explain the background to that and this very unusual disruptive decision.
Good morning, Alec. Thanks very much for having me on your show. First of all, I just want to commend you. You know, you have a business called BizNews, and you talk about business a lot. I mean, that is your core business. And I was very impressed that you included agriculture in your business focus. And I listened to your interview with Peter Keane and Dr. Lund from KZN. And it made every hair in my body stand up. And for people who don't know what foot and mouth is, maybe they should have a look at that interview. Maybe they should start reading about the impact of foot and mouth. I read recently a dairy farmer's diary for 1 month of what happened on his farm. And it's just quite sobering. So that's where we are. And you said I did something unusual. The minister used exactly the same words yesterday when I asked him a question at his ministerial briefing. And he said that it's unusual having a parliamentarian coming to this briefing because I've got all the mechanisms, parliamentary mechanisms, to ask questions to the minister, and I'm a member of the portfolio committee. Well, that's precisely why I went to that press briefing. I am a member of the portfolio committee, and the minister had not briefed the portfolio committee about this new plan of his. And I thought, well, let me go and get first-hand information. The problem, Alec, is that foot and mouth, this current foot and mouth outbreak, has been around since 2021. That's 4 years. Now, you remember how long the 2 years of COVID were for South Africans. Well, these 4 years for farmers have been an absolute nightmare, because the minister quite glibly says he's going to wage a war against foot and mouth disease. But the question is, what's he going to wage the war with? You need vaccines, and we don't have vaccines. And this is what gave rise to my question to the minister. When I said to him yesterday, you say that it's the responsibility of the farmer to maintain biosecurity on his farm. Well, absolutely. That is what proper farmers do. They make sure that they have proper fencing, that they can exclude other animals that might have diseases. And the government should be doing the same thing. We don't have a barrier anymore between the Kruger Park and livestock farmers in South Africa. That barrier is gone. So the first barrier of prevention is gone because of neglect, like all the other neglect we see in this country, neglect of road and rail and all of our infrastructure, traffic lights, well, you name it. It's just gone. This government does not look after infrastructure. So the consequences then, I think you said, if you don't maintain your road, you get potholes. Well, if you don't maintain your buffer zones of foot and mouth, you're going to get a foot and mouth disease outbreak. So my question to the minister was, So you tell us you're going to do this. You have no ammunition. You have no vaccines. Farmers for the last 4 years have been waiting for the department to provide vaccines, and the vaccines haven't come. And in fact, many of the farmers that have vaccinated and been able to get hold of vaccines, their animals have still died. Now, it is said that animals, and yesterday one of the departmental officials said that animals don't die of foot and mouth. Well, they might not die of foot and mouth disease, but they die of secondary diseases, clostridial diseases, pasturella, Rift Valley fever, all the other diseases that also require vaccines. And I want to tell you that Ornis de Poort, Biological Products, and the Agricultural Research Council have been absolutely delinquent in producing vaccines. Alec, every single summer I get inundated by calls from farmers to say, heartwater, gall sickness, Asiatic African heartwater are killing my cattle. I can't get blood. I can't get vaccines. And then I contact the director general and I contact the minister and they assure me that the product is available. And the farmers come back and say the product's not available. So Ornis de Poort Biological Products used to be an iconic South African establishment that provided vaccines to South African farmers and also farmers across the continent and even the world. Now we can't do it anymore. 500 million rand, half a billion rand, has gone missing from Ornis de Poort, where they were supposed to be upgrading their facilities to good manufacturing practice standards so that we could export vaccines and that we can also have proper vaccines. We can't do that. And that is why Ornis de Poort and the ARC cannot provide vaccines. So when I asked the minister, are you sure that the people who are going to head up this war against foot and mouth disease, your departmental officials, and ARC and OBP leadership, are you sure that they can manage? Because they're the people that have put us in this mess. If we had been vaccinating properly, Alec, in all the district management areas or red zone areas where we've had outbreaks in the last 4 years, we wouldn't be in the situation we are in now. Foot and mouth has become like a felt fire. The dairy industry in KZN is on its knees. And, I listened to Peter Keane talking to you yesterday. Dairy farmers love their cattle. They see them every day, sometimes three times a day, their milks, but certainly twice a day. They know them almost by name, but certainly by sight of the animal. They know their animals. They know their production. And when you see production starting to go down and you see your animals developing mastitis and you see them walking on the ends of their legs because their hoof covering has hoof walls have fallen off, it can break a person. And, you know, Alec, the other question that was asked yesterday to the minister that he evaded and didn't address at all is what about compensation? When you have an outbreak, Alec, by law, you are expected to inform the department that there is an outbreak. Now, what that does is immediately it brings your farm to zero income. Zero income. Dairy farmer, beef farmer, feedlot. Suddenly you have zero income. And the minister makes a lot of fuss about movement of animals, and he's right, technically. If you want to confine and control a disease, you must quarantine it, any kind of disease, whether it's in a hospital or whether it's on a farm, it must be quarantined. But if you're going to quarantine a business, you must give it some support, otherwise that business will fail, or else people will not report, and they will move their animals because there's a price differentiation, and they'll move their animals to where they can sell them. They've got bills to pay, children to educate, and that kind of thing. So what has happened is that the farmers are expected to fight this war with their hands tied behind their back with their own resources. And John Stiernaesden was asked yesterday, what are you going to do about compensating people that are reporting incidents of foot and mouth outbreak and that are going to zero income situation? And he was absolutely still on that. The only good thing that came out of the press conference yesterday was that the minister said that he's going to appeal for this to be declared a national disaster. Now, that's still a long way from being declared a disaster. What he said and what he's done in this government are two separate things, but at least they have woken up to the fact after 4 years that we have a national disaster here. And I'm going to conclude by saying we learnt a lot during COVID. And that is what I actually wrote in my press statement. We learnt during COVID not to ask less questions and be accepting, but to ask more questions, especially when it comes to the economy. You know what COVID did to the South African economy. Well, that's what foot and mouth disease has been doing to the agricultural economy for the last 4 years, and it's still not declared a disaster.
Ethel, there's so much in what you've just shared with us now, but I want to start with the politics first. There is already feedback from people saying Steenhuisen has been lined up by the ANC with this portfolio because they were under the impression that he would mess it up, which he appears to have done, and they were well aware that this was not going to be an easy portfolio at all. In fact, it's a disaster that was brewing with foot and mouth disease. You know politics. You know, can it be as Machiavellian as that? Or are people trying to make more out of the political side of this than is actual fact?
Look, I don't think it can be or is as Machiavellian as that. I really don't. This thing has been 4 years in the making. Steenhuisen has been the minister for about 18 months. So it was already being messed up before he arrived. But the problem with South African politics, Alec, is that when John Steenhuisen became the Minister of Agriculture, I think the farming community thought, well, great, now we've got somebody who will listen, somebody who looks like us, talks like us, and will hear us. Now, in proper politics, where governments appoint the most appropriate person to the job, not like our country, where you have people like Angie Motshekga as the Minister of Defense, it doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what language you speak. But if you have expertise in an area, that's the area that you should be deployed to. Now, I looked at some of the officials in the Department of Agriculture, for example, that are responsible for handling this outbreak. Yesterday, there were three veterinarians, doctors that were seated next to the minister. And, you know, they are veterinarians. I'm not a veterinarian. I'm just a farmer. And you know, I can't question their qualifications. But there is an official in the department that's actually responsible for day-to-day management who advises the minister. And I've searched everywhere, Alec, to find out what his qualifications are with regards to veterinary, biosecurity and disease management outbreak. And I can find none. And I've said for a long time in the committee that I believe that the minister is being misled by his officials. I've written messages on our portfolio committee group to say that if we can't manage the influx of illegal aliens across a linear border of this country, how on earth are we going to manage the infiltration of an enemy like foot and mouth that spreads across our country where there are no fences, where we have massive communal farming areas, where we have livestock in the cities that roam in our streets? How are we going to manage it? And I don't believe that we have the officials, the capacity, the expertise, or the skills to manage this the disease outbreak. The minister did say one good thing, and I've written it down, and I'm going to monitor it very, very carefully. Because from the farming community and the stakeholders in agriculture, it is apparent that there is no partnership between the department and them. The minister says, yes, they've met with various people, and they've got various representatives from, the academic field and so on a task team. But when it comes to the farmer, the man who milks his cattle, the man who pulls his dead calves out of animals that have got foot and mouth disease, they don't believe that there's a proper partnership. And the minister said yesterday that the department can't manage this alone and that they will have to collaborate and cooperate with farmers. Now, that was good news for me because farmers, I think it was Pete Keane who said to you yesterday, that he manages his contagious abortion or brucellosis in his own dairy herd. So he acquires the vaccines, he applies the vaccines, administers them, and he monitors the recovery of that animal. Minister Steenhuisen said the Department of Agriculture must do this vaccination. They must be part of the comprehensive vaccination because they will then follow up. There's no better follow up than the man and woman or men and women on a farm that deal with those animals daily. They will see them every day and say, oh no, my cattle are improving. My cattle are getting worse. That's the best way to follow up. Nobody in an office in Pretoria can effectively follow up. And I think Dr. Lund said, one of the problems with the department officials being responsible for surveillance and follow-up is once they've been on your farm, Alec, where you have an outbreak, they can't come to my farm within 7 days. So those staff effectively become disengaged for 7 days, whereas I will monitor on my own farm, my own animals on a daily basis. So this has to be a collaboration and a cooperation between every farmer, their production representation organizations, whether it's the milk producers organization or the red meat producers organization or Agri SA or Agri Eastern Cape, SAI, all of those institutions, they should be involved and they will monitor and they will report back because it's in their interest to break this current outbreak. Not to simply go along year after year after year and then tell us yesterday that this is a 10-year project. Which business can endure a 10-year project at their own expense? It's simply unacceptable. This is a government responsibility. It's a state controlled disease. And if it is a state controlled disease and it's legislated that the state is responsible for its control, then the state must control it.
But that brings in a whole lot of issues. And you did mention that Steenhuisen was quiet about compensation for farmers. But as a state-controlled disease, you stop the farmers from acquiring vaccines. So you're responsible for making sure that they do not suffer losses. I mean, it's an open and shut case in commercial law. Has that penny dropped? Because the feedback we're getting from the BizNews community members, and we have a lot of farmers on our very, very active WhatsApp groups with our premium members, telling us that these agricultural bureaucrats are incredibly arrogant. They think they know better. They've been informed about this ages ago, and they actually just, it's almost like they don't want to work with the farmers and they want the farmers to fail. So has the penny dropped about the liability that the state and unfortunately we as taxpayers are going to be facing in this regard?
I don't believe the penny has dropped. I heard one of the doctors or the veterinarians on Minister Steenhuisen's team yesterday say that animals don't die from foot and mouth disease. So that means he doesn't understand what secondary infections are. And he said the only problem is that you do lose calves, a high number of calves. Now, let me just explain to you, Alec, and your listeners. If you're a dairy farmer, your enterprise cannot continue if you don't get heifer calves. If you don't get any calves, that's the end of your business. You need replacement females to carry on your enterprise. So that's the first problem that was highlighted to me yesterday when an official made a remark like that. But what happens with a foot and mouth disease outbreak and the economic consequences are the following. First of all, you lose production. So the veterinarian, Dr. Lund, explained to you that if your cows come off production, say a cow is producing 18 liters of milk, she contracts a high temperature, gets foot and mouth disease, she will either develop mastitis and not let down milk because her teats are too sore to milk, but the production will go down. When she comes back into production, she might produce 8 or 10 liters of milk. So you've already lost half of your production. So that's the first consequence. Production falls dramatically. But if you are in a district management area and you have been quarantined, you may not sell your products. That's the next consequence. So you lose production, you lose income. Then the next thing is that you lose replacement livestock, the future of your business, when they die either from foot and mouth disease or secondary infections. And some of those secondary infections require other vaccination and vaccines. And if you can't access them, your hands are tied behind your back. And then the last one, this is probably the most difficult to manage because feedlots can be given exemption where they inoculate their animals and they can still slaughter them. So farmers can sell their weaners or their young livestock to the feedlots to be fattened and prepared for market. And when they get to a feedlot and they contract foot and mouth disease, they can be vaccinated. And in 90 days or more, they can slaughter the animals and production continues. But if you are a stud breeder and you've built up the genetics of your stud to the very best way you can, acquiring genetics from all over the world, and you contract foot and mouth disease, you may not sell those genetics. So you can't sell bulls, you can't sell heifers, you have zero income. Now, no business can tolerate zero income. But this Department of Agriculture and this government expects farmers to tolerate zero income. It is completely unacceptable. And Alec, you must remember there's another thing about dairy farming. Most dairy farmers reproduce or have their animals reproduce through artificial insemination. So they're not even bringing in bulls from other areas and putting them into their herds. They are inseminating their cattle to get them pregnant so that they can calve and produce milk artificially. So they can manage an environment and they can quarantine themselves absolutely perfectly. But the minister said yesterday, and this is the point that really, really bothers me. And you asked me, has the penny dropped? And I say the penny hasn't dropped. Because the minister gets told by these officials that quarantine and seclusion is the best way to confine an outbreak. Well, it hasn't been the best way because it's been 4 years now and it's getting worse by the day. The minister says vaccination is not a silver bullet, quote unquote. He said biosecurity on farm is the responsibility of the farmer. Now, I agree that it is, but think about a farmer who lives in a communal area where he puts his livestock out into the pasture every day with no fences. His cattle mingle with all the other livestock in that area. And people are buying and selling cattle all the time to educate a child or to pay a bill or bring new bulls in and bring new rams into communal herds and communal flocks. There is no biosecurity control. So if you've got commercial farmers securing their farms and emerging or subsistence farmers doing the opposite, we will never get rid of this outbreak. So that's where the government needs to catch a wake up, and John Steenhuisen needs to understand that biosecurity is his department's responsibility, especially in a state-controlled disease.
Well, I had a voice message from Pete Keane, the farmer, as you mentioned, that I spoke to earlier this week, and he said biosecurity is impossible because the neighbors who want to get their cattle onto your land, or just through anger, whatever, cut down fences. He says he had a fence that was cut in 260 places. This is just not possible. And he made the point as well that a crow eating off a carcass, which has passed because of foot and mouth disease, well, it doesn't know that it's not supposed to go into the next door farm. So this isn't, the way it's being looked at is, it appears to be incredibly naive and certainly out of touch. But right at the, as far as the farmers are concerned, they're saying, please just let us get our own vaccines. Don't you as the state tell us how that you will give us vaccines. You can't give it to us. And in the meantime, our herds are being smashed. Let's get back to what happened at Ornisterpoort. That 500 million rand that disappeared at the Ornisterpoort biological products. You mentioned that yesterday when talking to the Minister of Agriculture. Do you have any insight into where that money went? Because from what you've said and from what the farmers tell us, this was once a pride of South Africa. We were producing fantastic vaccines, more than enough for our own management of a crisis like this. Now there's nothing. And 500 million was put there by taxpayers, and it's unaccounted for. Do you have any insight into what happened to that money?
Well, I think the short answer to that is if you watch the Madlanga Commission or the Ad Hoc Parliamentary Committee inquiring of what's happened to the money in the South African police services, the answer would be the same. Money gets frittered away, especially through the tender processes, and people enrich themselves. But once again, I'm going to speak to what was said at the press conference yesterday. The CEO of the ARC said that the vaccine production facility at Ornisterpoort stroke ARC was built in 1980. 1980, that was 45 years ago, Alec. And he said it became so outdated that they had to do away with it and build a new facility that would meet good manufacturing practice standards. Now, that's well and good, but you don't destroy something but before you've got an alternative to produce vaccines. And then he went on to really incriminate the department and himself when he said that that facility used to produce vaccines for foot and mouth outbreaks, and they used to produce about a couple of thousand vaccines a week when there was a buffer management zone and the outbreaks were not as intense. That's what he said. Essentially, what has happened now, 4 years later, there is no buffer zone. The outbreak is now a national disaster. And he says they can't produce vaccines. And the minister says, that they will increase that production by mid-February to 20,000 vaccines a week. Now, you've heard the numbers. The national herd's about 14 million strong. Some of the vaccines that we're going to be procuring from other countries, because we can't produce them, they need a double dose, and they need a follow-up within 6 months. Onderstepoort and OBP and the ARC tell us they have a vaccine that is a one-application vaccine, but they can't produce it. So what we are saying as Action SA, and what all the farmers are saying, is let's collaborate. Let's use private sector laboratories. If you've got the vaccine, we can mass produce it. Let's put a plan together, do away with archaic legislation that prevents that, sweep off the table, if it's a national disaster, all the constraining regulations, and let's go to a private laboratory that produces medication for humans or whatever medication, and give them a contract to produce the required number of vaccines, like in 2 weeks' time. Because we're not looking for a vaccine, Alec. We've got a vaccine. Now we just need to reproduce it. Let me give you a story about vaccines and regulations and legislation, just to illustrate how it can be overcome. There was a scientist in France called Louis Pasteur, and he discovered a cure for rabies. Now, in the past, if a rabid animal bit you, that was the end of it. You died. Or if it bit another animal, it died. And the symptoms are very similar to foot and mouth disease. You start salivating, and that's what cattle do. They salivate and drool. And a French woman's son was bitten by a rabid animal. And she traveled across France to meet Mr. Louis Pasteur, who's not a doctor, he was a chemist, to meet him and say, I need you to treat my son. But the legislation and the law prohibited this man applying the vaccine to this child. And he wasn't a doctor, so he couldn't apply it. Anyway, he consulted two doctors about this child, and the doctor said, the child has got rabies, it's going to die in the next 2 days. And he consulted the mother and said, I have injected thousands of animals with this antivenom or antidote, and they have recovered, but I've never injected a person. If I inject your son and he dies, I'm going to be culpable. She said, if my son is going to die, I'm going to take that chance. And he applied the medication or the antidote to the child, and he lived. Now, if you have a national disaster, you need that kind of intervention. You need that kind of leadership to tell farmers and tell the country, we're going to do this because we have to do this in order to save our industry. Can't say we can't do this because of the law and this regulation and the next regulation, and we can't import this vaccine because this person hasn't given permission yet. If it's a national crisis, and it is a national crisis, we were acquiring vaccines for COVID that hadn't even been tested, Alec. Why can't we do the same thing for agriculture? We were acquiring vaccines that have been shown to have been detrimental to human beings. Why can't we do the same thing when farmers are on their knees saying, our livestock are dying, we are dying of poverty, and this is psychologically killing us? In the United Kingdom, when they killed thousands of cattle, tens of thousands of cattle, farmers were committing suicide, but the government was compensating them. In South Africa, farmers are considering suicide because they're losing their income and their dear livestock, and the government is not compensating them, and the government's not even backing them up. That's where the real issue lies, in the vernacular, and it's opposite, because they would say, ulapok felitole. That is where the calf has died.
Certainly from Peter Keane's perspective, he, I'm sure, would, and he and other farmers would welcome the intervention that you're recommending, and it seems pretty rational. But he said, even before that, just give us the chance to buy vaccines wherever we can. Let us look after our own assets. The fact that the government is not allowing farmers to do that is baffling to me. And it does appear as though, again, the penny hasn't dropped, because if you're treating this as a national emergency, which is what we are told that the government is kind of believing, well, then that's the kind of intervention that one needs, surely. So if you were Minister of Agriculture, to close off with, if you were in Steenhuisen's job, if Action SA had joined the government of national unity, and there was somebody bright who said, hang on, we got a farmer here, He knows agriculture far better than anybody else that we have around. Let's put him into that role. If you were running the agriculture department, what would you do now?
Well, first of all, if you listen very carefully to what Peter Keane said, when he buys contagious abortion or brucellosis vaccine from his nearest co-op or veterinarian services, he looks at the cold chain to make sure that that vaccine is effective. Now, no farmer is going to apply vaccines to his livestock that's going to wipe it out. The whole idea about applying vaccines is to save your livestock and production. So this big brother mentality of the government saying we need to apply the vaccine, we need to certify the vaccine, we need to surveil what happens thereafter after application, that's complete madness. The best remedy to control this is to give the responsibility of application, surveillance, and follow-up to the people who have got skin in the game. Those officials that are sitting at the ARC and the OBP get paid at the end of their month. Their salary gets paid whether the outbreak is coming to an end or whether the outbreak's getting worse. And the outbreak's getting worse because there's no consequence to those people. The people that feel the consequence should be the people that are controlling this disease. And those are the farmers. Those are the livestock owners. I sat there and I listened to the African Farmers Association of South Africa asking questions. How are we going to fight this? How are we going to prevent this infecting our herds? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about compensation? Nothing. So that's the answer, Alec. We have, you know, the Department of Agriculture is very thin on extension services, on veterinarians on the ground, people that interact with farmers on a daily basis. That's been one of the, probably one of the biggest shortfalls of this new government is they did away with effective, efficient, competent, capable extension officers that would be on the ground monitoring outbreaks, speaking to farmers, engaging them, providing vaccines. That's all gone. So in the absence of that, you have an infrastructure of farmers, people who look after livestock on a daily basis, who are there at the front line, who can become your extension officers. So the government has got a network of extension officers, farmers like Peter Keane, vets like Dr. Lund, right across this country. They are on the front line. Put them into service. If you're going to wage a war, then wage it with everything at your disposal. And the people at the front line are the best people to fight the war.
And I'm sure you will continue to fight the war in Parliament as well. When does it reopen? When do all the politicians go back and have debates on issues like this, Iran and other pressing issues?
Well, we've been back this week and we dealt with the budget. And I'm back in Parliament. We're having a press conference today. But, Parliament takes a while to warm up. And that's why I was perturbed and a bit bemused that the minister was holding a press or briefing to tell the press about what he was going to do without calling us as a portfolio committee. I mean, I wrote to the portfolio committee chairperson in the beginning of December, and I said, this is a disaster. We need to do something. We need to do something different, because our officials are not up to it, and I believe they are misleading the minister. And, you know, we're now mid-January, and we haven't had that portfolio committee meeting. So if it was urgent, if it was a national disaster, we should have been dealing with this stuff. And I'm not going to wait. And the minister said it was unusual that I was there to ask questions. I'm going to do the unusual in unusual times. That's my responsibility. And I will continue to do it. I'll do whatever I can. And that's why I have to thank you for the opportunity to speak on this matter. This is not a parochial matter, Alec. This has got nothing to do with any particular political party. This should concern every single member of parliament and every single South African, because this is a national disaster. Food insecurity is one issue. But when food becomes inaccessible and milk becomes inaccessible, this government will import meat and milk so that people can eat and stay alive and allow importation. What will that do to our industry? It'll break our industry. We have always been a food sufficient country. We've seen our neighboring countries become food insecure because of bad political decisions. We can't afford to let that happen in South Africa.
Ethel Trollope is the parliamentary leader of Action SA. I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.